Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday morning. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions Radio Broadcast. I'm Linda Shuler, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that we have joined together again for this Sunday's message entitled The Mystery of Grace Revealed. The Mystery of Grace Revealed, powerful message that the Lord has given to give us insight and understanding of the purpose of God revealing grace unto our lives. So important that we understand the mystery of grace that God has revealed in Scripture, because it's the very reason why we are saved and how we are saved. So we're going to get into the Word of God, but before we do, let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for another glorious day to be alive. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us through another week and blessing our lives this weekend. And God, we look forward to many blessings and the doors that you're going to open for many of your people in healing and deliverance and bringing your spirit down into their lives for them to have a closer walk with you. And Father, we just say thank you for the word of life that's able to save our souls, God. We thank you for your love and grace and your compassion that you have poured out upon us. You've lavishly poured out your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the spirit of grace where we can abide in you to understand that you are the one that enable us and strengthen us with grace, God. Your grace is sufficient for us. So we say thank you, God, for all of those that are tuning in. May their lives be blessed. May you, Lord God, lift us and illuminate us and enlighten us, and let your light of continence shine upon us, your glory be risen upon us, that we may walk victoriously, Lord God, in this earth, knowing that we belong to you and you have poured out, God, a measure of grace that, Lord God, we can receive with thanksgiving, with praise and honor and gladness in our heart. May we receive the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We bless you. And God, we ask that you will look upon this nation and the leaders of this nation and in our churches, that you may guide them with your wisdom and give them, Lord, what they need. We say thank you, we honor you, and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. We're talking about the message entitled, The Mystery of Grace That Is Revealed. The Mystery of Grace Revealed. And we want to first go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians talk about the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, who was set aside and called by God, was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. Recently, we taught about the revelation of Jesus Christ that has been revealed to us. It's so important that we receive and understand what God has done in the earth for us, leaving his Holy Spirit, sending Jesus to die for our sins, to release grace upon our lives. We really need to understand grace. Oh, it's so important for us to understand grace. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start at the first verse. And before we do, I want to thank all of you, everyone, for the birthday shout-outs and blessings. And I want to thank God for allowing me to see 50 years of life in him, and especially for that born-again experience that has brought so much joy and so much love in my life and so much peace in life. And his deliverance power has set me free. So I'm glad about that. And we want to go ahead on and get into scriptures. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, get your Bibles. Let's start reading. It says here, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me toward you." Let's start right there and do a little bit of commentary here. The Apostle Paul is letting the church know, the church at Ephesus know, about the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God that was given toward us. Because throughout scriptures, especially throughout the Old Testament, there were different dispensations that God showed up and did specific things. There was a dispensation of the covenant when God established his covenant with the children of Israel. And there were another dispensation of what God did in manifesting himself to people. So now when you get to the New Testament, there's this dispensation of grace. And there was a dispensation where God, of course, sent Jesus. So we have different dispensations throughout the Bible. And that's very important because in those dispensations, God was changing things and changing the order of things for people because he loved people. And so when you had, and you also had the dispensation of the law in the Old Testament, the law that was a schoolmaster to show people, particularly, of course, the children of Israel, that they needed God. So the law was in effect during the dispensation of the Old Testament, very important. But the law in and of itself was imperfect because it did not totally take away the sins of the people. It just allowed them to come before God with sacrifices of the bulls and animals and goats and so forth. So God was bringing another dispensation that would bring a perfection in the lives of people. And so when you get to the New Testament after the dispensation of Jesus Christ coming into the earth, dying for our sins, he then brought forth a dispensation of grace. Because God so lavishly poured upon us his loving kindness, his forgiveness, the redemption through his blood, for salvation, for us to be saved without being condemned for our sins, without us dying in our sins. So this dispensation of grace is very important to the church because in that, when we become born-again Christians, God gives us a grace where he no longer judges us and condemns us. But the grace of God enable us through his spirit to be able to be overcomers and to be able to be forgiven and to be able to serve God without the guilt hanging over us and the condemnation being in our lives. I recently shared, of course, about the revelation of Jesus Christ and there was someone, of course, that reminded me of this dispensation of grace. And when you talk about the dispensation, of grace, let's say the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation, we talk about revelation. I was talking about revelation a couple of weeks ago. The revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of grace goes hand in hand because that's what Jesus came to give us, grace. And that's why the Apostle Paul here is saying in verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace, the grace of God which is given to me, the Apostle Paul is saying that when he was basically in the desert of Arabia for those 3 years, God revealed something to him. And it was in the spirit that God let him know what he has released into the earth, which was grace, which was grace. And so Paul is saying here that God gave him the revelation to make known unto us what he has done and what we should appreciate and how grace is so important now that we understand what grace is for our lives. We can serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. We can serve the Lord without fear. Not the reverential fear. We know that we have that reverential fear of God. But he's talking about the fear that brings torment because of wrongdoing and wrong thoughts and guilt. The grace of God takes that away. so that you can easily serve God out of love. So let's look at 4. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When Paul was talking to the churches, all of the churches, he wanted them to understand the spiritual matters of God through Christ Jesus. You have to think in terms of the spiritual mysteries that have been revealed in the spirit. That's why God is a spirit. And the Bible says, you know, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's nothing that you're going to be able to comprehend with your natural mind, your natural inclinations. This is a spiritual walk, and so we have to look towards God, and that's why it's so important to be saved, and that's why it's so important to be true in your heart, because when you are true in your heart towards God, he reveals his mystery. He reveals his word. He reveals his spirit so that we can understand how he moves in our lives. Again, verse 4 says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In other ages, no, it wasn't revealed. As we talked about, the mystery, of course, of Jesus Christ was not revealed in the Old Testament in other ages. That's what it's talking about, the other ages before the New Testament gospel. In other ages, it was not revealed about the mystery of grace, about the mystery of Jesus Christ, the revelation. When we talk about revelation, revelation is the revealing of something. Something that God has made known. So now that we have this beautiful grace that has been revealed unto us, here he's talking about the Holy Spirit and holy apostles. Look what the mystery of grace was for, verse 6, that the Gentiles, which is you and I, because we are not of the Jewish lineage, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Fellow heirs mean joint heirs. Fellow heirs mean the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters that are in the Lord. We should be partakers of this grace that God has revealed. Because when God saved us, he released a grace on our lives that made us so different and significant to him. A beautiful grace that covered our lives. A beautiful grace where we don't receive, as mercy will have it, we don't receive the punishment that we deserve for our sins. We don't receive the punishment because Christ has taken it and nailed it to the cross. And he has shed his blood in our lives. Shed his blood for our sins. So this beautiful grace gives us the qualifications to be adopted sons and daughters of God. What grace and mercy now is following us all the days of our lives. It's so important for us to understand grace. And many people, of course, yes, they take grace out of the context. Because the Bible says we're saved by grace, abound much more. That is because God is not going to destroy his people because of their imperfection. Because Jesus Christ has brought grace. The Old Testament was the law that Moses brought, as Scripture alludes to. And Scripture tells us, Paul tells us in the Scriptures, that, you know, Moses brought the law, but Jesus Christ came by grace and truth. Grace and truth. That was his purpose of coming to the earth, to give us the light of the knowledge of the truth. And grace. So we see here, let's look a little further, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of some, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, well, I was made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul is saying here he was made a minister according to what? The gift of grace that allows us to be able to do what we need to do, that allows us to be blessed, that allows us to be strengthened, that allows us to have the ability to preach, teach, and live out our faith through this gospel of grace. Verse 7 says, wherefore, he said again, we read verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It is through God that we're able to do anything. And Paul is saying here that it is by God's grace that he's able to do the work of Christ. Verse 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches, that's the spiritual blessings of the inheritance that God has given us in Christ Jesus. To know that we belong to him, to walk this life of faith in him, unsearchable riches of the Spirit of God's love to the body of Christ and those that love him. That is what Paul is saying here, that grace was given unto him to make known. And that's why I am coming on the broadcast and every other preacher, apostle, teacher, evangelist that share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're proclaiming the grace of God that has been made known unto us. Even in our preaching of repentance for sinners to come out of darkness into the marvelous light of the grace of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Verse 9, look what it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Just what I said. To make all men see, to understand mystery of the grace of God. He said, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, created all things by Jesus Christ. Again, this grace of God was hidden. There wasn't grace when God destroyed the people during Noah's time. They didn't have grace. You want to be able to understand grace? Let's talk about the people that was destroyed because of their sin. The Bible said during those times they were drunken, giving into marriages, and doing everything that they wanted to do. They woke up every morning to do evil, and that wasn't the purpose of God creating humanity. And so they didn't have an understanding, and grace was not given unto them. They didn't even have a knowledge of God to fear him during the time of Noah. And that's why God sent the flood. Because, of course, they were rebellious and they did not want to understand or receive the knowledge of God and contain it in their heart. They did not want to do it. So that's why God had destroyed them, because, see, God is a holy God. And he cannot tolerate evil and sin in his presence. He's a very, very holy God. So God had to come up with a way. He developed a way, established a way that he can have mercy on his people and not destroy them. So that's why in the dispensation of time, he sent Jesus to be the perpetrator, the atonement for our sin. And he has given us this beautiful, wonderful grace upon our lives, if only that one would believe in the name of Jesus. when you're a believer and have received Jesus Christ in your heart, God stops and prevents the punishment that we all deserve for our sins. Grace has given us the ability to be forgiven. And when we're forgiven of our sins, it's like God covers us because of his grace, because he loves us with an unconditional love. So we go to another scripture here, verse 9. Of course, we said to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God created all things by Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to come by Jesus Christ. He gave us a way to come to him. So he sent Jesus. And that's why it's so important for people to understand that you can't come to God without Jesus Christ, because he has provided an atoning way where blood was shed. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And so here you have it. Now that God, he loved us so much, he's made a way for us. He's revealed the way that we should take in order to be saved, in order to be forgiven, in order for our lives to have grace and be blessed and move on and serve him so that we can lead on into eternal life. Hallelujah. That's what he's done. So verse 10 says, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. To the intent, the purpose, basically. I'm going to really do a little bit of commentary here and paraphrase verse 10 so that you can really understand. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So what God is saying here, he's talking to the powers of evil, the powers of principalities, the evil wickedness in high places that may be made known to them by the church, us, those are born again believers, the manifold wisdom of God in revealing grace unto the principalities to let them know that we have the grace of God and that there is nothing that the enemy can do. There is nothing that the wickedness in high places can do unto our lives, because we have been covered by the beautiful grace of God, by the beautiful mercies of God, the manifold wisdom of God that covers us. This is wisdom. See, wisdom is basically knowledge of who you are and what God has done in saving our lives. We have beautiful knowledge now of Jesus Christ. We walk in the liberty. That's why the Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And that's why the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. We don't go about worrying every single day. We don't go about fearing life, fearing what we hear in the news, fearing what bad or possibility of bad things may come to our lives. We don't go about in that. We don't go about fearing anything in life, because we have beautiful grace that has been revealed to us that we are belong to God. And he has given us grace and strength to overcome every opposition. That's the manifold wisdom of God that has been revealed, this beautiful grace. Verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Yes, we have boldness and faith and confidence in God, that we know he is with us, that we know he is for us, that we know he has given us grace for our lives. Hallelujah. We have this confidence in God. We have the information of who we are as believers in Christ now. Verse 13 says, wherefore I desire that you faint not, he said, at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Now we want to stop right there, because now we want to go to another scripture in the book of John. Now, again, I want you to think this in your spirit about the beautiful grace that has been revealed, the mystery of grace. Why was it a mystery? Because, see, salvation was coming to bring grace. See, grace is tied up into salvation and redemption. It all ties together. The mystery of Christ, it includes salvation. It includes grace, redemption through his blood. It's all together. The mercy of God that triumphs over judgment. It's a beautiful word that God has given the body of Christ. The form of religion, but it's the power of God. Let's go to the book of John, because now we want to be able to understand more about the grace of God and God so lavishly pouring out in our lives. Look at John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Why is John in John chapter 1, why is he saying these things? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, because it was the mystery, of course, that was kept secret from long ages. Whereas, again, as I alluded to in the initial stage of the broadcast, that Moses brought the law. See, God is always working his perfect will in humanity's lives throughout the dispensation of time. He's always doing something. And see, now grace completed the work of Jesus Christ. Now we look forward to eternal life. There is nothing else that God is going to do as far as another dispensation in saving humanity. This is it. Grace is the fullness. Again, we read in verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. This is it. Why? Because Jesus Christ has completed the work on the cross. That's why he said, it is finished. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. If people don't receive the grace of God right now, the grace of God that's able to save their souls in this life, this dispensation of grace, there is nothing else. This grace of God now is leading us into eternal life to meet the Lord one day, to be with God one day. There's no more salvation after this dispensation of grace. That's why the Bible says that when the restrainer is lifted upon this earth, see, the restrainer is that Holy Spirit that we have. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Jesus Christ releasing grace in our lives. Releasing grace into our lives to know the Lord, to have knowledge of him, to be strengthened to overcome the world, to prepare us. So important, people. So important. As many as the Bible talk about, you know, many people will be left behind. Many people will not be able to be caught up with the Lord in that time of rapture if they don't receive the grace of God now. Because, again, when the restrainer is lifted, there will be no more Holy Spirit and grace, the grace of God, to bring you knowledge of the manifold wisdom of the mystery of Christ. It'll be too late. It'll be too late. There are many people that's going to be left behind. There are many people that's going to lose their souls if they don't receive Jesus Christ now and the Holy Spirit. There are many people. So now that's why we teach, that's why we preach, as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, as God has revealed about this grace to his apostles, his prophets, we have to preach it. When the Apostle Paul, of course, was being given the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, he talks about how, you know, after he received the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, he had this beautiful, powerful, manifold wisdom of God, that a thorn was given unto him to keep him humble. It buffered him, a thorn in his flesh. He asked God to move it three times, whatever that thorn was. But God said, you know, he didn't remove that thorn that Paul wanted to remove, to be removed out of his life. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Meaning you're able to go through it. You're able to bear it. You're able to be sustained in whatever you have to bear in life, whatever that thorn is in your life. You are able to bear it. And that is what grace does. It enables us to be able to bear whatever we have to bear in life, whatever situation we encounter in life. We have to be able to understand that God has given us the grace to do it. And you can't do it alone. That's the beautiful thing about the mystery of grace that's been revealed. God says, I'm here to help you through my grace. It is my spirit that's going to help you in your mind. It is my spirit that's going to help you in your walk of faith. God is such a loving, compassionate God. Oh, if you can just understand scriptures to understand how loving and compassionate God is. It's the spirit of grace. I want to be able to go to another scripture here. About the grace of God. The grace of God. That has been poured out. The grace of God that brings salvation. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Again, I want to say I do apologize for the interference that we had recently on the broadcast. I think it was Friday. And I wanted to make that known. I didn't really know whether I should make that known. But, yeah, well, there were some interferences on the broadcast, so we were working on getting that resolved. And I have to say it because sometimes the broadcast may be in and out. But I want you to hang on there because we're able to at least complete the message on the broadcast in its entirety. So when we look at Titus chapter 2, let's go there. We're talking about the grace of God, and the broadcast is about to wrap up, so I want to be able to hastily get these scriptures in. Titus chapter 2, and let's start at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Look what it does. Look what the grace of God does. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the presence of the world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glory appearing of Christ, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. This is what the grace of God has done for us. And look what God said. It has been revealed to all men. Like, we are without excuse. When you read the Bible, we are without excuse. Every person that have knowledge, you know, God has put special needs people here in the earth for us to understand the loving compassion and of who he is, that we can pour out that to special need people that don't have knowledge, can't understand, can't comprehend. I myself, of course, have family members in this with that particular specialness. So, you know, but God is saying, okay, those of you that have knowledge, you're able to comprehend, you're able to understand. It has been revealed to us. So now what? We are without excuse. Because what? The grace of God that brings salvation is appeared to all men. God is saying you're able to understand his word, to understand. If you want to understand, you're able to seek after God. And once you seek after God with a pure heart, you seek after God with genuineness, he will reveal the scriptures to you, the mystery of grace. Verse 12 says, what does this grace do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It shows us, grace shows us and leads us in the right way how to live a holy life, a godly life with the Lord. Not to go too far to the left. Because the grace of God has been revealed to us of what is expected of us in how we should provide true worship to God in holiness. And we are so thankful because he enabled us to be able to do that. Grace will help get you out of some bondages. Grace will help deliver you. Grace delivers you. Grace gives you peace. Grace pours out the love of God, you know, that's shed abroad in our hearts. It's the beautiful grace of God that keeps us going. When you feel like you can't go another further, it's the grace of God that's going to help you. When you call out to the Lord, when you cry out to the Lord, it's the beautiful grace that God is going to provide to give you strength. That's what grace is. It's the enabling strength of God, a sweet spirit. And it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And look what grace does. It prepares us to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. People don't like to think about that, staying focused on the return of Christ. But that is the whole epic ordeal about lives in Christ, about the grace of God that we have that brings salvation for to prepare us to look for the blessed hope of the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what grace prepares to do. Why? Because God gave himself. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. That's what grace does. It prepares us. And why we're here on earth to have these good works. See, Acts 17, verse 30 says, although God overlooked the ignorance of earlier times, of time past, he now commands all men everywhere to repent. Grace, the Holy Spirit, and the beautiful spirit of grace, it enables people to understand and to repent. Grace is so lovingly merciful. So our people live a long, many years. You may have people that come to the Lord in their 80s, even on their deathbed. God gives that grace for them to repent, to receive Jesus Christ. With sin abound, grace abound much more, because grace is following people to give them the opportunity to repent. People in God's will, any should perish. The beautiful grace keeps giving sinners and wicked people time to repent, as he did all of us when we were in our sins. Grace doesn't give up until a person won't give up their sins. In those final times, see, the Bible said there has been given unto all of us a measure of grace and faith. And that measure of grace and faith keep allowing people to give their lives to the Lord. That's why you see people, sinners and wicked people, walking around. See, when Jesus died, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. Grace is for everyone. But according to how people walk in life, there's a grace that measure grace. Your grace is different from my grace. The measure of it, the measure of it, the tolerance of God on our lives. Because there are people that are stiff-necked and hardened. There are things that God will have a measure of grace to keep allowing people to continue to walk in the error of their ways. There's a measure of grace that keep forgiving you and keep covering you and keep having mercy on you and keep having, you know, compassion. Just keep forgiving and giving you that chance, giving people that chance. But then there's a measure when a time when that measure of grace may run out for others at a different stage than it would for you and I. For yourself or myself, we all have a measure of grace that has been given. See, the Holy Spirit will give us the discernment to help us to walk in the manifold wisdom of God, to know and to feel what His presence, to know what He's saying about our lives, what we should do, what we should not do. You see, that wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's why the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because now when you have the manifold wisdom of God, you have the Holy Spirit, you can discern that measure of grace on your life. To know how far God wants you to go. It's that beautiful measure of grace. 1 Timothy 2 and 4 says, He desired all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The manifold wisdom of the truth of what He have done and given us grace to overcome. There's no excuse. When people cut their own lives off early, when people stay in depression, when people feel like there's no hope, they're choosing to be that way because they have not received the knowledge, the manifold wisdom of God about the grace of God that is available to help them. I'm trying to break this thing down for people. I'm trying to break this thing down in layman terms. I mean, I feel the Holy Spirit just sticking to it to break it down in the spirit of how people need the understanding and the knowledge, the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of grace, the mystery that has been revealed that it has come into the earth to help us. You have to understand the scriptures of what God has done. Let's go to Titus 3 and 4, since we're right here. Well, let's look at verse 3. Let's start at verse 3. Titus 3 and 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, it's all about that heart that God is trying to transform. It's all about that heart. See, people focus on a lot of other things, but it's all about that heart that God is wanting to change and transform our heart. Because the Bible said there's no unrighteousness that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it's all about that heart. Read verse 3 again. How we was living in disobedience, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. How did it appear? In the grace, in the form of grace. And grace is nothing we can do ourselves. By grace all we save, the Bible says, not of any works. And that's why verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of the of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. See, God did it all for us. Now He's just saying, I want you just to receive Jesus Christ, my Son, because in Him is the grace of God. Salvation that helps us. He have already done it. So He helps us through the Spirit. How do you think you have joy? Those of us that are born again believers and we have a relationship with God and we worship Him in spirit and truth, our joy comes from Him. Our peace comes from Him. It's the Spirit that He gives us. You can't have peace without Christ. Because all in the spirit that God releases in our hearts, in our spirit, for us to be content, for us to have peace, for us to have joy, for us to be able to feel his presence. And nobody can have that in its entirety without Christ. Without Christ. And so now verse 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, we're justified by his grace.